The verse that came to my attention is verse 7. Amos chapter 4 and verse 7. Now, before this, keep it in context, the Lord is He's going to take away certain things from the children of Israel, their disobedience. He's going to get their attention. And this is one way, this is one way God gets people's attention. He's not trying to do anything. He does as He pleases. And yet, in the whole thing, He's always tender, not forgetting His people. So here in verse 7, God says, "And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest." Now here's the phrase that I was fascinated by. "And I, God, caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city." Rain, no rain. Now, when I had moved into the area in 1981, in the summer of 81, it wasn't long before I had noticed, and then confirmed this with the workmen's, that there is a line. It's almost a weather line just north of Fruitland. And then another one just a little bit by, Perryville. You could be driving on Interstate 55 and you could hit that line past the exit and it could be snowing and not snowing. Raining and not raining. Even if you live here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. God causes it to rain upon one city and not on another. This passage, it simply and firmly declares God is God, and we, but men and women who have absolutely no power to order or control anything. Matter of fact, we could turn to Job chapter 28, and when Job was getting a little cocky, the Lord in Job 38, he says, "All right, you hold on, you answer me. Where were you when I set the stars? Where were you when I set the bounds of the land? When I said to the sea, stay, and the mountains, and this and that, where were you?" Answer me, Job. Where were you? He is the Lord God. He changes not. And He does whatsoever He pleases in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. This passage is something, just the language. The Lord caused it to rain upon one city and not to rain on another. This is something that I know a little bit about in my employment, because every time I see a customer or meet with a person of this world, that's what they talk about. They talk about the weather. I have a lot of agriculture industries on my route. One man says it should rain today, and another farmer doesn't want it to rain. One person is for snow, white Christmas. Oh, I want a white Christmas. And usually those are the people, there's two types. There's those people who work at school and they're not going to be going to school if it snows. Or they want it to snow so they don't have to go to work. But other people, they're like, "I don't want it to snow." And usually these are a bunch of older folks that can't get around walking in the snow, let alone driving in the snow. They need to stay home anyway. But there's varying degrees of concern about the weather. I want it to rain. I want it to snow. I've never heard anybody say they wanted it to sleet. Why we can't even dictate the weather patterns. We can't do it. How then do we think that we can handle, control, or order salvation? If we cannot, says the Lord, if we cannot master these little things, how can we handle the greater? Salvation. These things, whether it's rain or snow or the seas or the weather patterns or the patterns of salvation, every one of them are in God's hands to dispose how He sees fit. I read the text. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. Now, as I began to muse upon this verse, many truths. This is not a standalone verse. Many truths began to open up to me. And we owe much, right here, us here this morning, we owe much to our Lord God. If we have the ability to understand and see our corruptions, it's because God rained His mercy upon the hearts of sinners to open up to us what we are like. If we have been given the ability to comprehend in a small measure God's absolute sovereignty over, let's say, your neighbor, or over, let's say, another teacher, or over, let's say, another co-worker. Why? Because God caused it to rain on one city and not on another. If we have been given the ability to discern that God's ways are not our ways and that He does whatsoever He pleases, we ought to be thankful for that, because it's not in ourselves. It's not education. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, the thing is that when the Sanhedrin, when they saw these people, these disciples, they looked at them and they were ignorant and unlearned men, yet they had been with Christ. Christ makes the difference. And if we can't control the Spirit, because the Scripture says it lists where, however it wants to, you can't hear it. You can hear the wind, but you can't control it. Such is the grace of God. If we have been given the ability to adore the Lord Jesus Christ, who has positively rained upon us His free grace and mercy upon Calvary's tree, we should be thankful. If we have been given the ability to rejoice in His discriminating love and substitutionary compliments for His church, and we understand that and believe it and trust in it, we ought to be thankful. If we have been given the ability to just back off and see God ruling and reigning over all the earth, even though at this present day it seems otherwise. You hear the news. And I, you know, that's why I listen to sports, because it's, you know, the news, it just it wears on you. You listen to this and you see this tragedy and that tragedy and this hate and wars and all these abuses and all these different things. It breaks your heart. But if you can step back and see, God is ruling and reigning still. He doesn't ask men permission to do anything. He speaks and it happens. If we've been given the grace and the ability to lay down in peaceful repose, no matter what the case, no matter what the hardship, no matter what the trial, that's peace indeed. And that's only given because He caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another. Time would not, and I start thinking of examples, time will not allow for us to note all the examples in the Scriptures where this is so. We'll just take a few. Jonah and Nineveh. Jonah didn't even want to go to Nineveh. He tried to fight it. Of course, it's like Paul found out. It's hard for him to kick against the pricks. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. And Jonah, the Lord took him back and stood him in front of those people and he preached the gospel and it says they repented. Well, what about Sodom and Gomorrah? No. The Lord took his people out, as few as they were, and destroyed it. But Nineveh, they're so backwards, they couldn't even discern their right hand from their left. Why? Why Nineveh? Why not Sodom and Gomorrah? God reigned on one and didn't on the other. We'll look at this one. I almost preached this morning, but I thought, well, this would work into it well. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This is amazing. And the story of Lydia itself is what we're going to look at, but leading up to it, it's just the wording and the phraseology of the scriptures it's amazing. Paul and Silas, they came to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now you know what's in Asia right now to this day. They won't kill a cow because cows are sacred. And Buddha, it could have very well said, don't go west. Stop. Why? He reigns upon one city and not another. And when they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And passing through Mysia, they came to Troas. And in a vision appeared to Paul at night, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. They're about ready to hear the gospel. And that's what the Lord's going to do for people. If they're going to believe on someone they're not going to believe on someone they haven't heard. We're going to believe on someone that they have heard. So we skip down verse 13. On the Sabbath day, we went out into the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. There's just a bunch of ladies there. They go there and they start. What do they start doing? They start preaching the gospel. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. That's the only way salvation comes, is that the Lord opens the heart. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken, preached of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, just the interesting thing about this Lydia is she's from Thyatira. And where they're at now in Macedonia, the distance it doesn't make sense. Why is she there? She's there selling. But she wasn't Philippi. Well, Paul wasn't Philippi. Why didn't she hear the gospel then? It wasn't according to his providence. It wasn't according to his purpose to hear there. She was going to hear somewhere else. So they get together. Oh, that's luck. You know, please don't say that word in front of me. If you're a believer, don't use that word. It's not scriptural. Believers don't use, luck has to deal with chance and fate and all these different things. No. It wasn't luck. It was providence. It was God's purpose. how all this came about for her to hear the preaching, believe the account of God's Son, and live in newness of life. Why these preachers turned away from a whole continent and preached elsewhere, leaving Asia in idolatry. So the Lord would open the heart. And there's no other way of grace. There's no other name of grace. And there's no other method of grace. The Lord, whose heart the Lord opened. Not man. Not a cheap decision. Not twisting someone's arm. If you want to be good for mom and dad, believe. No, no, no. Jonah learned it after he went through all he went through. Salvation is of the Lord. It's just an outburst. We could also go to Calvary's tree. You got two thieves. You got two thieves. One on this side, one on this side. Only one. Only one was rained upon, and no rain on the other. You remember that? I love this. Oh, I love the story of Philemon and Onesimus. You remember all the intricate details of the providence of God, everything working together for good, that God's going to be glorified, Christ is going to be honored, and a sinner named Onesimus is going to be saved. Well, he could have heard the gospel under his Philemon. His Philemon was a believer. The church was in the house. But he didn't. He ran right into Paul. As the old Puritans used to say, he's gonna cross your path. And that's what he did. But when you step back and you say, why? That's one something that, you know, and I kind of thought, well, you know, move on. Personally, John Seaball used to say, why me? And I thought, move on. And I thought, no. He had it right. And I was jumping the gun. Don't move on. Don't move on. May we never become complacent to realize if God has done something for us, it's only by grace. He didn't have to. He didn't have to do it. On and on we could go. Jacob have I loved. Abraham, the father of many nations. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, once hating and killing the saints, and then one plucked from the fire. All to the praise of the glory of God's grace, whose heart the Lord opened. This is the banner, this is the truth over every called sinner of God's long-suffering and free favor, whose heart the Lord opened. None will be in glory that do not have this mark, whose heart the Lord opened. One city with rain, one city without. In closing, let's look at Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. And then I got a little statistic for you. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and yet he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. I, the Lord God, rain on one city and not on another. Now, we were talking this morning in Bible class about how thankful we are for this place in Jackson. I love Google. This is Google. I just asked the questions. According to Google, There are 2,469,501 cities in the world. There's over 600,000 towns. Over 2,469,000 cities in the world. And over 600,000 towns. One in over 80,000. One in over 80, at least 80,000. You say, how did I come up with that number? Well, I looked at Free Grace Radio, there's 47 preachers. Now, I know there's more than that because I know more than there's 47. So I said, let's just say 200. 200. And I'm sure there's more than that. But this number does not include the 600,000 towns. So at least, I mean, and I don't know about tomorrow. All I know is today. May He give me grace to be faithful. May He give you grace to be faithful to Him. And may we ask Him to water upon us, to rain upon us as the former and latter rain. Because He can or He cannot. What He does for us, He'll do for us through Christ. What an amazing, blessed truth. To God be the glory.